are listening to The Life of Jesus Christ in a Year, from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I'll be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations available from TAN. Before we get to today's reading, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you were blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings, we graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the Most Holy Lamb of God, and through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 95, and today we'll be reading from Volume 2. We continue in the new section that we began from the close of the first Pasch to the conversion of the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. Today we'll read number 2. Jesus on the confines of Sidon and Tyre. Jesus went from Ono with the disciples to the middle place of baptism, that above Bethabara and opposite Gilgal. There he permitted Andrew, Saturnin, Peter, and James to baptize. Immense crowds were coming and going, rousing in consequence fresh excitement among the Pharisees. They dispatched letters to the elders of all the synagogues throughout the country, directing them to deliver over Jesus, wheresoever he might be found, to take the disciples into custody, to inquire into their teachings, and inflict punishment upon them. But Jesus, accompanied by only a few disciples, left the place of baptism and journeyed through Samaria and Galilee on the confines of Tyre. The rest of the disciples separated and returned to their homes. About the same time, Herod ordered his soldiers to bring John to Calirro, where he kept him confined for about 6 weeks in a vault of his castle. Then he set him free. While Jesus, with a few of his disciples, was crossing the valley Esdraelon on his way through Samaria, Bartholomew passed. Returning home to Debaseth from the baptism of John, he fell in with some of the disciples, and Andrew spoke to him enthusiastically of the Lord. Bartholomew listened with delight and reverence, and Andrew, whose joy it was to add intelligent men to the number of the disciples, went forward to Jesus and spoke to him of Bartholomew, who was desirous of following him. Just at this moment, Bartholomew passed. Andrew pointed him out to Jesus, who, glancing toward Bartholomew, said to Andrew, "I know him. He will follow me. I see good in him. I shall call him in time." Bartholomew dwelt in Debaseth, not far from Ptolemais. He was a writer. I saw that he met Thomas soon after, to whom in turn he spoke of Jesus, and whom he inclined in his favor. Jesus had to endure great privations on this hurried journey. Saturnin, or some other one of the disciples, had charge of the basket of bread. Several times I saw Jesus steeping the hard crust in water, in order to be able to eat it. In Tyre, he put up at an inn near the gate on the land side of the city. He had come over a high mountain ridge. Tyre was a very large city. To one approaching from a distant height, it looked as if hanging from a mountain and momentarily in danger of being detached. Jesus did not enter the city. He kept along the wall on the land side where there were not so many people. The wall was very thick. In it was built the inn, and on top of it ran a road. Jesus wore a brownish robe and a white woolen mantle. He went here and there, but only to the houses of the poor built in the wall. Saturnin, and one other disciple had come with Jesus to Tyre. Peter, Andrew, James the Less, Thaddeus, Nathanael Chased, and all the disciples that had been with him at the marriage feast of Cana followed. They traveled in separate bands and met Jesus in the Jewish meeting house, situated in another quarter of Tyre, to which led a broad canal bordered with trees. To this house, with which the school was connected, belonged a large bathing garden, which ran down even to the water that cut off this quarter of the city from the mainland. The bathing garden was surrounded by a wall, inside of which was a quick-set hedge of bushes, cut in figures. In the middle of the garden was an open portico, containing numerous passages and little apartments, and around it was a spacious bathing cistern full of flowing water. There was, in the middle of it, a pillar with steps and hand supports, by means of which one could descend into the water to any depth. This place was inhabited by aged Jews, who were despised on account of their religion or origin, although they were good, pious men. It was touching to see Jesus saluting the disciples on their arrival. He passed among them, giving his hands first to one, then to another. They were full of respectful confidence, for they regarded him as an extraordinary supernatural being. They were indescribably joyous at seeing him again. He delivered to them a long instruction, after which they told him all that had happened to them. They took a meal together, consisting of bread, fruit, honey, and fish, which the disciples had brought with them. The disciples, some in Jerusalem, some in Gennesaret, were called to account by the Pharisees before large assemblies on the subject of Jesus, his doctrine and designs, and their own intercourse with him. They were molested in many ways. Once I saw Peter, Andrew, and John with their hands bound, but a slight effort burst their bonds asunder, as if by a miracle. They were then allowed to return to their homes in peace. Jesus exhorted them to constancy and told them to begin to free themselves more and more from their avocations and to spread as far as they could his doctrine among the people of their district. He added that he would soon be with them again and that he would resume his public teaching when he should have rejoined them in Galilee. After the departure of the disciples, Jesus held in the school of the bathing garden an instruction, an exhortation before a numerous assembly of men, women, and children. He spoke of Moses, of the prophets, and of the near coming of the Messiah. He interpreted to them the meaning of the drought that had fallen upon the country in the time of Elias, the prophet's prayer for rain, the uprising clouds and the showers that fell, and he showed how all this was soon to be realized. He spoke also of water and of purification, healed many of the sick, and directed them to receive the baptism of John. He cured many boys who had been brought to him on beds. He plunged several of them, holding them by the arms into the water. Saturnin, having poured into it from a bottle some water that Jesus had blessed. The two disciples baptized these children. There were other boys approaching manhood, who went down into the cistern, and holding to the column, plunged themselves under the water, and in this way were baptized. I noticed here several circumstances, unlike what I had generally seen on such occasions. Many of the adults had to remain standing at a distance. The ceremony went on until night closed in. This concludes our reading for today. And now we reflect on what we have just listened to, what we have just read. In our reading today, we hear a little bit of Jesus in varying areas and, again, what he does, what he says, what he teaches, things that are going on around him as well. We hear that about that as well. One of the things we heard: about the same time, Herod ordered his soldiers to bring John to Calirro, where he kept him confined for about 6 weeks in a vault of his castle. Then he set him free. So John the Baptist experienced, as we hear in this reading, we don't get this in the Gospels, but John experienced great persecution. We know that ultimately he will be beheaded. I'm sure we'll get to that reading. But just to realize that John suffered a great deal. He suffered from the very beginning as an infant, when his mother Elizabeth had to hide to make sure that they were safe. He experiences ongoing, attacks. People think he's odd, strange, weird, whatever. And then Herod. Herod is curious about John, intrigued by him, and at the same time, very much wishing to separate too. The message of John was challenging. Meant John would have to change his life. There was an interest, a curiosity, but then also a distancing. I delighted a great deal in our reading about Andrew and Bartholomew. Andrew spoke to him enthusiastically of the Lord. Bartholomew listened with delight and reverence, and Andrew, whose joy it was to add intelligent men to the number of the disciples, went forward to Jesus and spoke to him of Bartholomew. Andrew spoke to Bartholomew enthusiastically of the Lord. Maybe that's just a point of reflection. Who have I enthusiastically spoken about my faith with recently? What have I enthusiastically shared? So who have I spoken with? What have I shared? And maybe who should I enthusiastically share the faith with? We know that this is called evangelization, when we share our faith with others. Jesus' response about Bartholomew as he passed by, Jesus doesn't call him out, doesn't ask to speak to him. He will at some point. I know him. He will follow me. I see good in him. I shall call him in time. Well, Jesus says that about you. He says that about me. I know you. You will follow me. I see good in you, and I shall call you in time. Let what Jesus say about Bartholomew, let Jesus see your goodness. Cast away evil so that good may be seen. And then, as we get towards the end of the reading today, Jesus and his disciples, they're in Gennesaret, were called to account by the Pharisees before large assemblies on the subject of Jesus, his doctrine and designs, their own intercourse with him. In a sense, these disciples are being called to witness. What have you seen? What have you heard? What have you observed? Peter, Andrew, and John, with their hands bound. So they're suffering already persecution. Imagine as they experience this, and then they go back to Jesus, and they say to the Lord, Lord, you know what happened? They bound us because we know you. We hear about the miracle of their hands being unbound, though. With slight effort, burst their bonds asunder as if by a miracle, says Anne Catherine Emmerich. And then finally, Jesus continued to spread his doctrine among the people of their district. This doctrine about heaven and the kingdom of God, this doctrine of salvation and redemption and healing. Jesus wants this to be known by all people. It's up to us then to enthusiastically share our experience of Christ. This brings us to an end of our reading and reflection for today. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emmerichpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. Also, please share the podcast with others. Email it to your friends, text a link, invite them to begin listening so that you can have holy conversations with your family and friends about the writings of Anne Catherine Emmerich. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast on whatever platform you're listening. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue meditating on the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelation with the help of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until then, may God bless you, and Mary pray for you.